So 1 Peter, we're looking at chapter 1, and we're going to start reading from verse 22, 1-7. Great, are we there? Chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I'll keep it open and I'll pray as we start. Father, by your word we are born again. And as we hear your voice, we pray that you would help us as your children crave more of your goodness. That we would grow in love for you and love for each other. With our hope firmly set on the assurance of eternity with Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Sarah Knight has written a best-selling self-help book. I first saw it sort of advertised, splashed all across Finsbury Park Tube. I've seen it on a few bookshelves since. The self-help book, the title is The Life-Changing Magic of Saying I Don't Care. Actually, that is the sermon-friendly version of the title. Please don't be distracted now thinking what it could be. I couldn't repeat it. It is a very rude title. The publishers knew exactly what they were doing. So did Sarah. You can't help but see the title and think what's going on. But that in essence, is what it is. The life-changing magic of saying, I don't care. And the strap line, I can say in full, it's fascinating. The front cover says, how to stop spending time you don't have, doing things you don't want to do, with people you don't like. And we laugh because as busy Londoners, there is some appeal in Sarah's book, isn't there? If we're honest, time is precious. People can be very annoying. She could be onto something. No wonder it's a bestseller. Well, the Apostle Peter has described Christians as those for whom the blood of Christ has both bought and therefore brought us into the family of Christ. And it seems as we get to this point of the letter that he wants us so strong in our faith that we dislike the taste of Sarah Knight's help. And instead we crave our Father in heaven's help. Living as he'd have his children live. Not looking for self-help but his help. To live as his family. And so last week we were told to be holy like God our Father. And this week we're told to love one another, nourished by our Father's voice. So firstly, that first command, first point, love your family. Let me just read from 22 again. Verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Peter's reminding us that Christians are those who've heard and obeyed the truth of the gospel, brought into God's family, and so now we have both the opportunity and the ability to love one another. And he doesn't say, put up with one another. No, God is love. His children are saved by and born again through his love. And so our love, says Peter, is to be a sincere and deep love. It's neither two-faced nor shallow. It's not loving on a Sunday and neglectful on a Monday. I don't know about you, but I think that sounds terrific. But good luck with that springs to mind. And just as we're thinking, well, do you know what, actually, we could do with some life-changing magic here, if this is the command that we're to obey. Well, Peter reminds us we've received much more than mere life-changing magic. Verse 23, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. In other words, Christians aren't simply life-changing people. We're born-again people, a new spiritual DNA. And so he unpacks it, those seeds by which we were first born as children, think GCSE biology, they're not permanent seeds. But the seed of God's word by which we're born again as God's children, well, that seed is living and lasting. It gives us both new life and new love. And perhaps it comes as a surprise that Peter then quotes the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 to back this up. It's his proof text. And in full, and if you look back at Isaiah, the context is all about God preparing his people then to stand fast in their faith in exile. And in all of the challenges they'll face, unlike anything else they're reminded, as Peter then reminds his readers then and us today, verse 25, the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. God's elect exiles then rested on the promises God had made through Isaiah. God's elect exiles now rest on them fulfilled in Christ. Our hope is in him, and he makes Christians family forever. And so Peter says, so love one another deeply from the heart. I was reading last week about a man who always fed the ducks on a stretch of the Fox River in Illinois, over across the pond. And every day, whatever the weather, he would feed the ducks. And a chap worked in an office that overlooked the river, and his son would often be there at the weekends helping Dad, apparently. And it was his son who asked Dad, he said, what is he doing? Why is he here, rain or shine, feeding the ducks? Apparently, the guy who wrote it said that even in winter, this man would smash the ice up just to give these ducks a little pool of water to play in on the river. And apparently when he said to his dad, why does he do this? His dad said, well, he returned from the war recently in Vietnam. And his unit was ambushed, many of his friends killed. And just before the guns turned on him, some ducks flew overhead. And distracted soldiers used their ammunition on the ducks instead. Quite simply, he now has a special love for all ducks. Son, he loves because he lives. You see, Peter is saying, not a perfect direct link here, but you see that the love that binds us as those saved is to flow from the love of our Saviour. We're to love because we now live, born again. Christians, Peter says, love your family. Before we think about that in practice, let's see what he says next, because the two very much feed into one another. Peter says, crave your father's voice. That's these first three verses of chapter 2. And actually, we're going to look at them backwards, because I think looking backwards helps us see, actually, Peter's logic. So, reading up with me, if you like, verse 3, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Verse 1, therefore, or perhaps better, so, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. See the flow? You've tasted he's good. So crave more, and so rid yourselves of all the bad things that ruin relationships. In fact, that verse 3 is a quote, as David's opened with it, of Psalm 34. And it's all about, again, looking at that psalm in context to see the assurance we have by turning to the Lord, the blessing of refuge in him. And so the psalm ends with this, tasting the goodness of the gospel and turning to the Lord. And that's what the Christians Peter is writing to have done. It's what many of us here have done. The gospel message, first heard in our ears, sown into our minds, then stimulates our senses. We've tasted the Lord is good. And so, like newborn babies with milk, Peter says, crave more. Grow up as God's children, the way a baby grows on milk. And just to be clear, some of Peter's first hearers will very likely have been Christians for about 30 years or so. So this is a command for all believers, not just new believers, to crave the imperishable, living, enduring word of the Lord. It's the word by which they were born again. It is the word by which they will grow up. And here specifically, Peter says, that is to grow in loving one another. I wonder what it is that you crave. Even the non-pregnant amongst us will have cravings, I'm sure. I have to admit, that barbecued lamb at Finsbury Park bus station is pretty irresistible. Sometimes I manage to walk past. But like craving like a newborn baby. Well, it was a long time ago for most of us. But it seems to me that how do babies crave? Well, it's eagerly and frequently, as any tired parent, indeed mother, will know. That sort of pattern of milk, sleep, maybe. Milk, sleep, milk, sleep. And every feed that a newborn infant receives, they kind of give the impression that they've never been fed before. And they give the impression they're worried they might never be fed again. They crave the one thing they need to grow. And boy, do they grow. It's just milk. Peter says, be like that for our spiritual milk, our Father's voice. That is the milk, so to speak, the word that was sown, that gives us new birth, gives us new love, and therefore will cleanse us from all those things. That, look at that list there in verse 1. What do those things do? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. What do they do in a family but destroy it? They're totally unloving, and Peter says, have no place in the family of God's chosen refugees. And so he's commanding us and encouraging us by saying, when we let God's word nourish us, help us to sincerely love each other from the heart. Well, as it does its work, then we'll see more and more there's no place for spite or lies or being two-faced or jealous or gossiping. And not least of all, because Peter says Christians are made family forever. Who wants any of those traits shaping an eternal life together? So Christians, Peter says, crave your Father's voice and love your family. Let's hold these two things together and see where the rubber might hit the road for us. Now, Peter was writing, as we saw in verse 1, to all these churches across a vast area at the time. And the history books tell us that their churches were very likely made up of Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews. And that means that for generation after generation in those cultures, there will have been a sincere and deep dislike and jealousy, not love, for one another. And now here they are, gathered Sunday by Sunday, probably in small house churches, born again, as God the Father says, by my word I have saved you, and I will now nourish you because you are my family. So love each other. And again, it isn't the Lord saying, look, I've brought you together. It's sort of a social experiment. Can you now try and put up with each other? No, every other society in the world tries to live like that. No, God says, you're born again as my family, so love one another. And of course, we have the saying, don't we, you can't choose your family. But as we've gone through the series, we're clear that Peter says, well, God says, I choose mine, and I chose you. And my voice, my word, is everything you need to love each other sincerely, deeply, as I love you. And so just like the church families then, we're to be a church family that obeys this command from Peter. And so I guess the question for us all is, are we craving our Father's voice? Are we longing to grow up in loving one another? That picture of craving is so emphatic, isn't it? Is that the word you'd use to describe your quiet times? Is that the word you'd use to describe Wednesday nights in small groups, Thursday mornings, coming along on a Sunday? Is that the word you'd use as you sit down to write a sermon, write a Bible study, as being like a fix for a craving? And Peter reminds us that when we sit under God's word, our Father's voice is a little bit, if you will, like Sarah Knight's life-changing magic. The promise here is it will nourish and strengthen our obedience and feelings that like newborn infants, we'd eagerly and frequently want another feed. Now, I find too often I am not like that. If you are, I'm sure there will be a different spread of feelings about it. But I would love to be, wouldn't you? And I'm finding 1 Peter is extremely helpful. It is nurturing this sense of longing to hear more from our Father in me. I hope it is in you. I'm finding it especially reminding us that as we gather as a church family to hear our Father's voice together, it is his imperishable word at work amongst us. Now, I don't know what season of life you're in terms of thinking about that. Perhaps you're someone here this afternoon thinking, do you know what, I'm not exactly craving God's menu right now. Or perhaps you're someone who's been a Christian many, many years, and you're saying, do you know what, actually, I'm a bit fed up with the menu. Well, Peter is clear, isn't he, that we crave that which we know tastes good. And so it seems the more we taste, the more we crave. That's what infants do, isn't it? And the more we guzzle, the more we'll grow. And the more we grow, the more we'll love each other, ridding ourselves of all the things that are the absolute opposite of that. And that is the wonderful reassurance here. Did you notice? Peter doesn't yet tell us how to sort of proactively, positively put God's love into practice here. That comes later in the letter. Here he both commands and reassures that list in verse 2, verse 1. God's voice will cleanse us from all those relationship-ruining behaviours. So friends, if you identify as being one of God's family, are you eagerly and frequently craving your Father's voice, that he would help rid yourself, ourselves, of those things? I mean, on the way home tonight, How will we, how will I be talking about one another? Will it be words of building up? It was great to see. Or tearing down. I can't believe so and so. Or in a room this size, wonderfully made family, all sorts of backgrounds, colours and creeds, all sorts of statuses, both relationally, both professionally. Who here do you envy? It would be weird if some of us didn't envy someone. Who do you find it easy to gossip about? Often in our circles, it can be that sort of thing where we feel obliged to break a confidence, you know, just to inform someone else's prayers. Or to malign a character. Friends, we must know it's easily done, because Peter knows it's easily done, because that's how we're born. By a perishable seed. But wonderfully, we've been born again. And wonderfully, the imperishable seed, the living and lasting word that brings us new life, is the word that the milk we need to grow up, to be cleansed, to literally help us love one another. That is wonderful news, isn't it? Do we receive it like that baby receiving that bottle of milk? Do we long to be like this? Do we long for our children to be like this? To have homes that are just without those relationship-ruining character traits? That we spend all sorts of parenting tip ways of trying to banish them from our homes? Peter says, open your Bibles. It's doing this work as we sit under our Father's voice. And if you're not yet convinced you're one of God's family, the very best thing you can do is keep coming along and listening to the Bible, because it's there that we hear God's voice together. It's there that we taste and even see that he's good, that his love stops at nothing to bring you home. It's in tasting that that you'll long to obey him as a loving father. It's that you'll long to know the blessing of refuge in him. Christians, love your family and crave your Father's voice. And so perhaps as we close, we could give the world's biggest bestseller, the Bible, a title like Sarah Knight's. Could we rewrite it? God's Word, the life-giving magic of new birth. How to start spending your eternal life that he's given you, doing the things he wants you to do with the family he's given us to love. Let's pray together. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that the only reason any of us can know the goodness of you, to know that taste, is because in your mercy you've caused us to fall under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by your Spirit you've given us new birth, to obey it, to see it as truth, and to be welcomed into your family. And so we praise you for one another, that you're in the business of making family. And we pray that by the word that gives us new birth, you would help us to crave it more, longing for more of this new love. That your voice would help us both obey and also give us the ability to love each other deeply, sincerely from the heart. So we pray this week you would help us banish, rid ourselves of those things which we know destroy relationships, and that you have saved us to be cleansed from. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.